What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And welcome to our show today. It is Monday, September 14th, 2020, start of a brand new week. And we're going to do news as we always do until we run out of news, at which point we'll be opening the phone lines for your comments, questions, observations, and opinions. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, ready to answer the phone when you call on in. All righty. So obviously the big news right now is Storm Sally, which is on the verge of being a Cat 1 hurricane, expected to hit a Cat 2 hurricane with 100-mile-per-hour winds less than a month after Hurricane Laura battered the region. So if you're in that area, you got to fill up on gas, fill your sandbags. If they call for an evacuation, please listen. And again, these poor people, they just got done with one and here comes another. All righty. Now then, getting to our local political news. Story out of Press TV. Trump and Biden are both backed by Zionists in the November election. U.S. President Donald Trump and his Democratic rival Joe Biden are both backed by the Zionist lobby, and the election of either portends anything good for the country, says a former U.S. Senate candidate. Mark Dankoff, who's also a broadcaster in San Antonio, Texas, made the remark during a phone interview with Press TV on Saturday. In recent weeks, the Trump administration has brokered normalization deals between Israeli regime and two Arab states, the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain. For Trump, the trend of Arab-Israeli normalization has become closely linked to his re-election campaign. The embattled incumbent views this as a foreign policy achievement that could please the Zionist lobby and energize his base after his other big foreign policy initiatives, the so-called deal of the century, containing North Korea, containing Iran, have all failed. Now, we are about 2 weeks away from the first presidential debate that's already scheduled, but Trump is challenging Joe Biden to a four-hour debate hosted by Joe Rogan. And the reason for that is because the moderators for the existing debates are all Trump haters, and it's going to be a very biased platform up there. And Trump is also figuring that Joe Biden can't last 4 hours and keep himself together mentally. So that's why he's trying to do that here. All right. There's a big stink brewing over this political group called Act Blue. And there's this conservative group, Take Back Action Fund, that's done a computer analysis, has found nearly half of all 2019 donations to Act Blue were made by people claiming to be unemployed. Now, Action Fund President John Perdner questioned the veracity of those donations and called it a loophole that must be closed for the election of integrity, because these donors are not only unemployed, they're untraceable. There's no way to go back and verify they are the actual donors. Now, Lindsey Graham is out there saying that this is fishy as heck. He's slamming Act Blue over anonymous donations after the group drops nearly $200 million on the Biden campaign. Lindsey Graham has sounded the alarm following a Fox News report that Act Blue, a leftist nonprofit political action committee, has donated $194 million to the Biden campaign, took in nearly half of its 2019 donations from anonymous donors who listed themselves as unemployed. Graham tweeted Saturday, "Wow, that sounds fishy as heck." Now, Donald Trump is calling out Act Blue, the Democratic donations, as money laundering. And any state reopening the day after the election has legally admitted the rationale for mailing ballots to everyone has vanished, exposing yet another DNC vote rig job. Michael Bloomberg is getting ready to drop $100 million to help Joe Biden's presidential campaign in Florida. All right. Now, former CIA officer Sam Faddis, in an op-ed for Revolver News, is saying violence will explode if Trump wins re-election. Now, this is an officer who spent decades undercover in the Middle East and South Asia, warns that violence will explode if Trump wins re-election, will probably continue anyway, even if Biden wins. So that's kind of a moot point here in terms of deciding who you're going to vote for in November. Okay, General Mark Milley, the top general, is saying the U.S. Armed Forces will have no role in carrying out the election process or resolving a disputed vote. This he told Congress in comments released on Friday. So the comments from General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, underscored the extraordinary political environment in America, where the president has declared without evidence that the expected surge in mail-in ballots will make the vote inaccurate and fraudulent, and has suggested he might not accept the election results if he loses. Now, there was a story we did last week in which the mail-in ballots are predominantly going out to Democrats, that the vast majority of requests for mail-in ballots are coming from supposedly Democratic voters. The problem with the mail-in ballots is anybody can put a name on an application. Anybody can put any name on the mail-in ballot. There is no checking and no verification whatsoever. Now, Donald Trump, this was a bad move in my opinion. Okay, Trump tells a Nevada rally he will negotiate a third term in the White House because he's entitled to it based on the way we were treated. Well, it's not uncommon for presidents in their second term to muse wistfully about a third term. But for Trump to do it before the election, that was a bad move. And the Democrats are going to seize on that as evidence of his megalomania. All righty. All right, Biden has actually been caught using a teleprompter to respond to questions from James Corden on late night. When he holds up this photo to the camera, you can see the reflection of the teleprompter in the glossy surface of the photo. So it's all fake. Donald Trump clashes with the West Coast governors ahead of a visit to California, where he'll be briefed by Governor Gavin Newsom about the raging wildfires. That's already happened. They just got done having that briefing, and Trump is out there congratulating the California National Guard for their rescue efforts. But apparently the big clash was over the impact of climate change on wildfires ahead of his Monday visit to California. Okay, here is my comment about that. They're trying to say climate change, climate change. The FBI is already out there saying it wasn't Antifa, it wasn't Black Lives Matter. How could they possibly know at this point? But just think about something. You're not seeing this massive wildfires north of the Canadian border, are you? Or south of the Mexican border? It's all confined into California, Washington, and Oregon. Now, getting on back to the National Guard, this time in Oregon, six of the military helicopters operated by the Oregon National Guard are unavailable to help fight the wildfires because they were sent to Afghanistan earlier this year. The CH-47 Chinook helicopters, which can be used to perform aerial water drops during wildfires, traveled to Fort Hood, Texas for training in May, along with an estimated 60 members of the Oregon National Guard's Bravo Company, 1st Battalion, 168th Aviation Regiment. The six aircraft were deployed to Afghanistan after training, where they remained for overseas missions on Thursday. I wonder what else that could be useful in fighting the wildfires is now over in the war zones here. Now, there have been several arrests for arson, and I'm looking at the story that came out of yourdestination.com. Longtime Black Lives Matter rioter arrested on a charge of second-degree reckless burning along Washington State Route. Apparently, he set the median on fire. An Oregon woman pulls a gun on Antifa trying to start a brush fire on her property. But they don't want you to know that. Facebook removes posts linking Oregon wildfires to activist groups. Facebook has started removing false claims that the deadly wildfires in Oregon were started by various left-wing groups, a spokesman for the social media company said on Saturday, after the rumors left state officials inundated with queries for information. Since early this week, state officials have been attempting to debunk misinformation on social media that has blamed left-wing groups for the fires that have killed at least six people in Oregon this week. How do they know? That's the weak point in all of this denial. And it's coming from not only Facebook, from the FBI. They're waging an info war on this idea that maybe these fires are being started by arson. And eight people have been arrested for arson so far. But they're calling it all a conspiracy theory. No, 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 no. Nobody's setting these fires. Forget about the videotapes that you've seen. I saw a video on Twitter. Somebody caught somebody setting a fire. It's climate change. It's climate change. Again, we're not seeing these wildfires north of the Canadian border. We're not seeing them south of the Mexican border. Just think about that for a little while. So a top Facebook official tweeted Saturday it would delete posts alleging leftist organizations started wildfires in Oregon and other Western states after the FBI said arson reports are conspiracy theories. And yet they have arrested people for arson. Anyway, Now, the other big story that's going on are these two Los Angeles sheriff's deputies who were ambushed and shot in Compton, California. They went into the hospital. They were shot in the face and in the arms. And they went into surgery. They're both still alive. They're both now listed in stable condition coming out of the surgery. They're going to carry the marks for this for the rest of their lives here. Now, Al Sharpton, in what has to be desperation on the cusp of madness, told the Morning Joe host that he thinks the L.A. cop shooter was planted to hurt the image of Black Lives Matter. Because at this particular point, given the shooting and the aftermath, this could be the nail in the coffin of the PR for Black Lives Matter. Nobody is saying that this was justified. Nobody is saying that this was a good thing. But apparently, footage has emerged showing the enormous police response to the shooting of two sheriff's deputies in Los Angeles and a man mocking the attack on the two officers. So a bystander mocks the shooting of the deputies while filming the enormous police response. Authorities have offered a $100,000 reward for any information leading to the shooter or the accomplice who drove him away, apparently in a Mercedes-Benz. Trump is demanding the death penalty if they find the shooter. All righty. Apparently, Black Lives Matter mob swarms the hospital where the deputies were being treated, threaten police at the scene, saying, "You're next," and chanting, "We hope you die." A photo taken at the scene of the crime moments after the shooting shows one deputy, the woman, shot through the jaw, saving a fellow cop with tourniquet and radioing for help. Let's see, the Black Lives Matter chanting, "We hope the bitch dies," against 31-year-old L.A. sheriff deputy and mother after she's ambushed and shot in the head. They tried to breach the hospital. This is a public relations disaster for Black Lives Matter, as if anything else they hadn't done up to now wasn't. Poll is showing that Oregon voters disapprove of the Portland riots and believe police aren't using enough force to stop them. I would tend to agree. How long has it been? 100-plus days now? 50 GOP congressmen sign a letter urging the Department of Justice to investigate the main financiers and organizers of the rioting being engineered across the country. Yeah, somebody with deep pockets is behind this. Now, National Football League fans express their anger at the politicalization of the league as teams kneel for the anthem or stay in the locker rooms to support Black Lives Matter on the first Sunday, while Colin Kaepernick slams the NFL for propaganda. Now, there is a massive protest unfolding in Connecticut over the decision to cancel high school football. Over at the University of Michigan, they're hosting black-only events while isolating whites so they can repent of their racism. Sounds to me like racism in reverse is going on. In Canada, Trudeau has created a race-based $221 million fund for black people only. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has announced the federal government will be investing $221 million of taxpayer money in a group to give loans to black entrepreneurs to start businesses. That's racist. That is racist right there. Over in Washington, D.C., black prosecutors are calling for the criminal justice system to be more fair because too many black people are prosecuted for gun crimes in the nation's capital. Because gun crime prosecutions disproportionately impact the black community, because that's the primary community committing gun violence in not only Washington, D.C., but all of America, black prosecutors in America's capital are calling for the criminal justice system to be more fair. As protests against police brutality and systemic racism filled the streets across the country this summer, a group of black prosecutors in the nation's capital began thinking about how they too could take a stand. All righty. An Oxford museum is removing shrunken heads made by Amazon headhunting tribe after their bosses said exhibiting human remains reinforces racist and stereotypical thinking. More of the cancel culture there hitting the museums. All right, let's talk about coronavirus for a bit. Pfizer CEO says a coronavirus vaccine could be viable by the end of October and ready to be distributed before the new year. Everybody is rushing to get a vaccine out there. I think, you know, haste makes waste and also mistakes. And there have been so many mistakes with vaccines, like the 1976 swine flu vaccine killed 50 times as many people as the flu did. So I'm definitely not going to be taking a vaccine that's being rushed out the door as part of Operation Warp Drive. Now, the World Health Organization chief is urging their office staff not to feel too scared to return to the workplace for the good of the economy and their own mental health. He's saying people should not be too scared of returning to normality. Now, pardon me. Earlier today, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio announced that although the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade will not be canceled, it will not be held along the usual 2.5-mile parade route, but instead just featured as a televised broadcast. That's going to be interesting to see. Respected German author Ernst Junger predicted the ubiquitousness of face masks to enforce conformity and uniformity in a dystopian future society in a novel called The Worker that was published nearly 90 years ago. By the way, the CDC is saying that those face masks you've been wearing to screen out the COVID-19 virus won't work against the smoke particles on the West Coast. And if you look at the relative size of smoke particles versus virus particles, you will understand the CDC has just admitted the masks aren't going to work anyway. Over in China, the communist government has combined its coronavirus track and trace system with the country's notorious social credit score. Meanwhile, the Department of Homeland Security is proposing a massive expansion of the biometric modality collection. What first seemed like a gradual slide in the federal government's use of biometrics is quickly becoming supercharged in a post-pandemic world. Readers may recall since 9/11, DHS, the FBI, and CIA, and other alphabet soup agencies have transformed America into a surveillance state on a par with China in the coming years. Activity in DNA and biometric gathering by the federal government is set to surge. The DHS recently announced a notice for proposed rulemaking that outlines the agency could enlarge its collection of biometrics data by at least 2 million submissions annually. And by the way, I saw a story the other day that a criminal was identified thanks to a genealogical DNA. In other words, when you send your DNA in to one of these companies to track your ancestry, apparently that is now made available to law enforcement. All righty. Israel is set to return to a controversial nationwide coronavirus lockdown after a recent spike in cases, with the details of how far restrictions on businesses are expected to go being hotly debated in the Knesset Sunday morning. The entire country will be declared a hot zone. The lockdown will take effect at 6 a.m. Friday morning, September 18th, which is about 12 hours before the start of Rosh Hashanah, the two-day festive celebration marking the Jewish New Year, and it will extend through Yom Kippur. The health ministry has ordered all schools closed starting Friday, though it remains uncertain if they'll be allowed to open after 2 weeks of closure. And apparently this has triggered some resignations from within the Knesset. Now, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and the Children's Health Defense sued University of California for making flu shot mandatory. UC is one of the many in the United States that have made the flu shot mandatory for all students, staff, and faculty. Prior to now, it remained a choice for people. Flu shots must be taken by November 1st of this year, according to UC. It's a proactive measure to help protect members of the UC community and the public at large and to ameliorate the severe burdens on healthcare systems anticipated during the coming fall and winter from influenza and COVID-19. Due to the growing amount of evidence that vaccines are not completely safe for everyone, let alone completely safe, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., renowned attorney and chair of Children's Health Defense, is now suing the University of California system. Here's a scary one. The U.S. Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act secretly amended to allow pharmacists to vaccinate children ages 3 to 18. While our nation was busy spending a considerable amount of time discussing racial inequalities or whether or not public schools and colleges were going to open or start online or debating the upcoming national political conventions, our federal government, specifically the Secretary of Health and Human Services, issued his Third Amendment to the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act. The Third Amendment allows pharmacists to administer vaccines to children ages 3 to 18. We're going to take a break for commercial, and we will be right back.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
What really happened? Welcome back to our show here, and friendly reminder, and actually down on the knees begging, that Republic Broadcasting Network is in the middle of a perpetual fundraiser. And folks, the cupboard is bare. We really need your help right now. We need you to step up to the plate and keep us on the air doing what we're doing here, because otherwise we're going to have to sell our control room technicians for medical experiments. So if you can help out, and thanks to those of you who already did, and thanks to those of you who are going to help out, the postal address to send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. And folks, this is really serious. This is not kidding around here. We're right on the edge of having to start pulling some plugs on some of our equipment and limiting our operations. So please, every little bit. There's no such thing as too small a donation. All right, getting on back to the news here internationally. outrage is growing in Bahrain over the government's normalization with Israel. Palestinian factions and the broader international Muslim community have expressed outrage at a fledgling trend of Arab-Israeli normalization that has so far seen the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain cozying up to the occupying regime under Washington's auspices. Palestinians have declared the upcoming Tuesday a day of rage over an earlier decision by Bahrain to normalize its ties with Israel under a U.S. brokered agreement, according to Israel's WALA website. A similar deal helped the UAE take the same move last month. Now, a statement embedded in the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain normalization agreements with Israel, brokered by the United States, may lead to the division of the Al-Aqsa compound because it violates the status quo. According to a report by non-governmental organization Terrestrial Jerusalem, the statements mark a radical change in the status quo and have far-reaching and potentially explosive ramifications. Under the status quo affirmed in 1967, only Muslims can pray within Al-Haram al-Sharif, also known as the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, which consists of 35 acres. So we may be seeing the partitioning of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Over in Pakistan, anti-Shia protests shake Karachi as fears of sectarian violence grips the countries. Thousands of people flooded the streets of Karachi last Friday in a massive anti-Shia demonstration, which sparked fears of sectarian violence. After the massive protests, the hashtag Shia genocide began trending on Pakistani social media. Sea of protesters were seen chanting, "Shias are kafir," which means disbelievers, and holding banners of Sipa-i Sahaba Pakistan, a terrorist organization linked to the killing of Shias over the years. This comes after some major Shia leaders in the country allegedly made disparaging remarks against Islam in a televised broadcast of an Ashura procession last month, according to media reports. Boy, everybody's just getting their knickers in a twist here. A large number of Russian warships were recently tracked off the coasts of Syria and Cyprus in the eastern Mediterranean region, according to the Russian publication Aviapro. This was reported last Thursday. According to the online publication, experts are seriously concerned about the presence of at least 15 Russian warships and submarines off the coast of Syria. This is the first time such a large military formation has been seen here, which raises suspicions about whether Russia plans to engage in a military special operation against jihadists using the Navy. So, what's going on over there? Well, according to this article in Blacklisted News, a new great game has begun in the Eastern Mediterranean. Now, what they mean by the great game is the constant pushing and shoving between the Western sphere of influence and the Russian sphere of influence. And it looks like the Eastern Mediterranean, which had sort of been calm for a while, except for Israel, is starting to heat up. After centuries of marginalization, the Mediterranean Sea is back in the international spotlight. A new great game is unfolding in its eastern part, similar to the 19th century machinations of the British and Russian empires in Central Asia. Massive migration flows from Africa and the Middle East towards Europe have traversed its waters, particularly in the wake of the Arab Spring and the subsequent conflicts in Syria and Libya. At the same time, the enduring Israeli-Palestinian conflict and its biased management by the U.S. continues to stir resentment. These crises have concerned the states overlooking the Mediterranean, but more recently, the resources hidden in its seabeds have fueled controversy. Russia is sending elite airborne troops to Belarus for drills, and they'll be deployed to Belarus from today through September 25th. Despite the Slavic fraternity drills being an annual pre-planned event hosted by Belarusian armed forces, the deployment comes at an intensifying moment of continued mass anti-Lukashenko protest after denunciations by the opposition that the August 9th national election was rigged. In accordance with the schedule of international events for 2020, the planned joint Belarusian-Russian tactical exercise Slavic fraternity, which has been held annually since 2015, will be held from 14 to 25 September. We'll be right back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our...
Welcome back to our show here, and I'm looking at the story that came out of Reuters, and the headline reads, at least 100,000 Belarus protesters flood street to demand end of Lukashenko. And the tagline reads, at least 100,000 Belarusian protesters took to the streets of Minsk on Sunday in one of the biggest demonstrations yet against President Lukashenko after he claimed a landslide victory in an election his opponents say was rigged. Now, I saw photos of the demonstration. There were a lot of people there, but no way was it 100,000. Maybe 5,000. But if Reuters is exaggerating like that, that reveals there's a political agenda at work here. Over in China, the Global Times is warning China must be ready for a potential war. And apparently a statement from the government is Chinese people don't want war, but we have territorial disputes with several neighboring countries instigated by the United States to confront China. Some of these countries believe that the U.S. support provides them with a strategic opportunity and try to treat China outrageously. They believe that China, under the U.S. strategic pressure, is afraid, unwilling, or unable to engage in military conflict with them. Thus, they want to pull the chestnuts out of the fire. considering that there's also the Taiwan question, the risk of the Chinese mainland being forced into a war has risen sharply in recent times here. Now, we have been seeing all these stories about how we're seeing these encounters between American bombers and Russian planes taking place over the Black Sea. And it's a dangerous game of brinksmanship because it's involving nuclear capable bombers. Now, we don't know that the bombers are actually carrying nuclear weapons. We don't know that they're not carrying nuclear weapons. But it is a dangerous game of brinksmanship that could actually instigate a conflict between Russia and the United States, which I think would be a bad idea. Now, the Black Sea is mostly landlocked with decades of treaties designed to keep interlopers from sending warships into the area willy-nilly. The source of tension, of course, remains the skies, with U.S. planes showing up just outside of Russian airspace. There have been times when such interceptions are reported twice or even three times a week, usually with Russian Sukhoi 27 fighter jets intercepting the U.S. Navy surveillance planes that are moving to the outskirts of Russia's airspace. This culminated at the end of August with an overflight by U.S. strategic bombers of the entire NATO alliance. Nominally a show of solidarity, it quickly became a provocation when one of the bombers, a nuclear-capable B-52, made a beeline for the Black Sea and headed for Russian airspace. An interception followed, and the usual U.S. complaining about how unprofessional that was. An incident with spy planes happened at the same time. So the U.S. is trying to provoke and goad Russia into doing something. Over in Ukraine, the process of violent overthrow of President Zelensky by the team of ex-President Poroshenko has begun. This was stated by the deputy of the Rada, Renat Kuzmin. So Biden's allies are over there in Ukraine trying to oust Zelensky and put back in Poroshenko. The Saudis have launched airstrikes against the Yemeni capital of Sana'a. Saudi warplanes carried out at least 11 airstrikes against the Yemeni capital city, according to the Shiite Houthi movement. Strikes hit across the city, but the main target appeared to be the Sana'a airport. There is, as yet, no word of how much damage was caused, and no reports from either side mentioned casualties. It would be unusual for there not to be casualties in such a large city, but the airport has been closed by a fuel shortage for weeks anyhow. All righty. Syrian army artillery devastates militants' positions in Idlib as Turks suffer fresh casualties in Afrin. Turkish forces have been passing through hard times in northwestern Syria. Good reason to go home here. First, a mysterious heart attack that killed a Turkish general in Idlib. Then Turkish military positions in the province of Aleppo were devastated by a series of rocket strikes. Rockets pounded the so-called observation post of the Turkish military near the town of Gzeksui on September 12th. Later on the same day, when Turkish reinforcements deployed in the area, the Gzeksui post was once again shelled by unguided rockets. Photos and videos from the ground showed that the strike caused notable damage, while pro-militant sources also claimed that several Turkish troops were killed. Now, Iran says it's chased off a U.S. spy plane during large-scale Hormuz exercises. On Friday, AFP reported on some surprising statements from Iran's military, which remains unconfirmed from the U.S. side. The Iranian Navy on Friday said it drove off American aircraft that flew close to an area where military exercises were underway. Iran is going to link its electricity grid with Russia and Azerbaijan in a few months once grid compatibility studies are completed. This is from Iran's energy minister, Reza Ardakhanian. Iran's power grid could be linked and synchronized to connect with the other grids, either via Azerbaijan or via Armenia and Georgia, as reported by the Fars News Agency. All right, I have to put this one in the category of propaganda. And this came out of Daily Mail in Great Britain, also Politico. Iran is plotting to assassinate the U.S. ambassador to South Africa, Lana Marks, as revenge for killing General Qasem Soleimani, according to intelligence officials. And the alleged plot has been detailed in intelligence papers, which have been seen by U.S. intelligence and government officials. American officials say they've been aware of threats toward the ambassador, Lana Marks, 66, since the spring, but the intelligence detail has suddenly become more specific in recent weeks. Okay, here's my question. World War I started with the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand. If the U.S. really wants to get into a war with Iran, are they willing to waste this ambassador to South Africa to get it going? Because from Iran's point of view, what's the point of hitting an ambassador in South Africa? Doesn't really seem to make much of a point. 4 days ago, Donald Trump said the U.S. is not involved in the Middle East for the oil, but because we want to protect Israel. The comments have gone all but unreported in the corporate mainstream press. Trump made the comment during a rally in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, when he was bragging about America's energy independence, which he said Joe Biden would undermine if he gets the White House. China is calling America the biggest threat to world peace following the Pentagon report, which claimed Chinese military poses serious implications for U.S. national interest. China has slammed that Pentagon report on China's military ambitions, saying the U.S. is the one that poses the biggest threat to the international order and world peace. Colonel Wu Qian, spokesman for the Chinese Defense Ministry on Sunday, called the report a wanton distortion of China's aims and the relationship between the People's Liberation Army and China's 1.4 billion people. The statement comes after the U.S. Defense Department claims China's rapid military development would have serious implications for U.S. national interests and the security of the international rule-based order. Now, that's an arrogant statement there, considering how many treaties the United States has walked away from. All righty. Over in Germany, apparently they're being accused of violating an international treaty when it asks U.S. military personnel to pay taxes in that country. This is coming from the U.S. ambassador to Berlin. And it jumped into a long-running fiscal dispute that has affected hundreds of U.S. troops and civilians. The U.S. embassy and military commands are aware of this long-standing issue and working closely in concert to address what we believe to be a misinterpretation of the NATO Status of Forces Agreement, embassy spokesman Joseph Giordano Scholz said in a statement this week. The Department of Defense and Department of State are engaged to try and reach a solution, giving the first indication the issue is being tackled at a higher level than military commands in Germany, which have been unable to resolve it after years of trying. All righty. In an unexpected move, former Iowa Governor Terry Branstad is stepping down from his position as the U.S. ambassador to China after more than 3 years on the job, as tensions between Washington and Beijing reach a fever pitch ahead of the November election. So, anyway. Down in Colombia, demonstrators took to the streets for a second night in the capital, Bogota, to press ahead with protests against police brutality that have erupted into violence and taken 9 lives so far. The demonstrators were protesting the death this week of law student Javier Ordonez, 46 years old. A widely shared video filmed by Ordonez's friend showed the father of two being repeatedly shot with a stun gun by police. He later died at the hospital. Some 300 protesters gathered once again Thursday afternoon outside the police station in Villa Luz, where Ordonez was taken before his death and which was heavily damaged on Wednesday. Okay, article coming out of MiddleEastMonitor.com. You're talking about Israel being a rogue state. And the article starts off with U.S. President Donald Trump's announcement that his administration is imposing economic sanctions on the chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court. The decree was announced by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who reported that the U.S. would not tolerate the ICC's illegitimate attempt to subject Americans to its jurisdiction. So basically what Mike Pompeo is saying is the U.S. has gone rogue. They refuse to go along with the International Criminal Court. This is the U.S. vindictive response to investigations announced by the court into U.S. war crimes in Afghanistan and the Israeli war crimes in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. These ICC investigations are still at an early stage, but the U.S. has already acted in a most draconian manner in order to evade justice. It's also acted to protect Israel, one of the world's worst human rights abusing countries and a key ally. All right, getting into the economic news here. China is dumping U.S. dollars for real stuff now. Gold and silver unstoppable. I heard one prediction that silver could go as high as $700. And there we go. going to go ahead and open the phone lines, 800-313-9443. Mortgage delinquencies are soaring 450% as homeowners pull cash from their homes like an ATM, magnifying the debt crisis. Meanwhile, Warren Buffett is dumping Wells Fargo, and people are wondering if we're witnessing the end of that particular bank here. Australia could join forces with the U.S., Japan, and India to create an alliance named the Quad to reduce reliance on trade with China. Australia could join this proposed economic alliance with U.S., Japan, and India to reduce reliance on trade with China as tensions between Canberra and Beijing reach new heights. Boy, can you feel the world war coming on? Actually, I think future historians will look back and say we were already in it at this point, just nobody wanted to admit it. A Northern California logistics consultant was unable to book containers on the Burlington Northern, Santa Fe, or Union Pacific Railroads for the first week of September, going to and from U.S. West Coast ports and Midwest destinations. The consultant said, "I've been working with the industry for 30 years. I've never seen anything like this. It's weird." The result is that importers of low-value products being shipped by containers such as T-shirts would be at an economic disadvantage transporting containers by truck as opposed to by rail between U.S. West Coast ports and Midwest destinations because of the higher cost. The consultant explained there's a huge shortage of rail capacity. There are no rail cars and there are no chassis. Well, whoever's in charge of planning for that messed up. The Islamic Republic of Iran continues to improve its cooperation with Venezuela, now by the creation of a pharmacy network in the socialist-ruled South American country. Carrying Iranian medical products, the brand new chain of drugstores is meant to tackle the dire scarcity of medicines hitting Venezuelans as a result of U.S. economic sanctions that impede imports. Caracas mayor's office and Iranian embassy have signed an agreement that gives birth to the network. Officials hail the deal. However, from the opposition, some express criticism, but experts say the Venezuela-Iran alliance for medicines is the right move. Meanwhile, Venezuela defies sanctioned tripwires and imports Iranian oil. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Joe in Tennessee, hello, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I was watching that. It looks to me like a dwarf that shot those cops. Just the way he was running afterwards, the waddle that he had, a little reminds me of a dwarf. Otherwise, it's a young little kid. But what I figure with that guy is he's a dead man, and I don't mean by the police. I mean, if he is affiliated with Antifa or Black Lives Matter, that he's going to have to wind up dead, because not only do they want him dead so he doesn't say anything about his connections and everything, but they will avoid a trial and they don't want this to be on the even Al Sharpton is saying how damaging it is to Black Lives Matter. You know, and I'm sitting there and I'm watching the NFL with Black Lives Matter and all this stuff, and I'm thinking, do they read the news? You know, did they even my mom, who's like a real lefty, she saw the video of the shooting and horrified up there in New York. You know, so. You know, it's a huge propaganda, disaster for them. And yes. It's just funny. It's like kind of like, you know, the strategy that I see Trump always employing is to just let them keep going further and further off on that limb and take as many more people onto that limb as you can. Now, the NFL is on the limb with Black Lives Matter. You know, yes. A lot of corporations now, all these lefty corporations, they're on the limb. With Black Lives Matter, you know, the assassin, you know, that's a very ugly thing to see when you see the video of that, I think, like I say, that dwarf waddling over. It's not like the cops were arresting them or being physical. They're sitting in their car. I mean, you know, that's just, you know, there's a one thing where you could say maybe
completely
this little
unprovoked.
Yeah, you know, you can look and see justifiable force or whatever and maybe make amends. So I think this guy is going to be like that assassin in Portland. He's going to end up dead, and that's going to be the end of the story. You know, you don't hear anything about that assassin anymore, do you? You don't hear anything about his connections to the FBI or his accomplices. You know, and there's nothing about his accomplices. No arrests, no nothing. The whole story went away. You know, we had a black truck driver come through here 5 miles from my house and slice the heads pretty much off of three of the ladies that work there. you know, selling hot dogs and coffee. And he was in the process of killing another one when a state trooper shot him dead. But, you know, it's a very unpopular crime because, you know, it's black on white and it's in a very white area. And it disappeared, you know, and part of the reason it disappeared is there was no trial. So he was shot, killed. Yep. That was it. No looking into why, no looking into motive. You know, he had a notebook with all these scribblings, but never even hear what the scribblings were. So this guy is, I would just, he's probably dead already by his own, you know, accessories. And but the other thing I wanted to talk about was these arsons in Oregon and Washington State and their ties to Antifa. Mm-hmm. And Black Lives Matter. It's such a disgrace to watch, but the FBI is totally disgraced. But, you know, it's not just FBI at the top, at the Comey level. But here you got this FBI guy out there saying there's no way. Yeah.
Joe, yeah, I know. Hold that thought. We got to put you on hold. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what's really happened?
And welcome back to our show here. We're talking with Joe in Tennessee, and we're talking about how the FBI and corporate media and social media are all out there trying to say, oh, those California, Oregon, Washington wildfires, they're not arson. It's all climate change. You know, don't try and link it to Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And the bottom line is, how can they possibly know? I mean, there have already been arrests for arson going on. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, you don't see these wildfires north of the Canadian border, and you don't see them south of the Mexican border. So there's something else going on besides climate change.
Well, the part of the problem is you have all these lefties. It's like the anti-racism lefties that go out and pretend like they got beat up or paint swastikas on their cars and stuff, the black people.
Yes.
Because they never get in trouble for it, yet it adds to the whole racism thing. Well, these people probably have been trained in that same school of lefty craziness where they say, well, if we can light these fires, even if we get caught, we'll be bailed out by the Antifa and the FBI, and we won't be prosecuted by the lefties and the government and the Justice Department, and we can add to the whole charade of global warming and screw the middle class white people that way through their taxes and their, you know, making them have less kids and everything. But it really is disgraceful for the FBI. Just like you said, they don't have to say that, you know, it's Antifa arsonist, but they shouldn't be saying it's not Antifa arsonist either. I mean, it's amazing to me that these are law enforcement officers and they're out there saying, oh, no, it's not Antifa. Well, you haven't even investigated who these arsonists are. How can you make that claim anyway? Now, you know, the ADL FBI training, you know, the ADL trains our FBI, just like a lot of police departments. And the Antifa was started by Jews in the 30s. You know, a lot of people don't know that, but I'm sure there's a lot of cross connections between Antifa and the FBI. Besides their ADL training, you can see it in like their actions. It's amazing. It's, you know, I'm sure Antifa has infiltrated very highly with agents from the government, provocateurs and infiltrators.
Yes.
That's probably why Kyle Rittenhouse is in so much trouble, because one or two of those people that he shot probably were working with the FBI or some intelligence service somewhere along the line. It's another guy you don't hear much about is Kyle, do you? Because first of all,
no.
He was totally justified, and second of all, he gives faith and a lot of hope to a lot of people, including myself. What a hero. Kyle, if you're listening, you're a hero. What a hero you are. Killing two scum like that and taking that arm off another one so he can't be pointing guns at people or throwing Molotov cocktails. You know, one of the guys that he shot supposedly had a Molotov cocktail. So if Kyle didn't shoot him, maybe he would have flown to Oregon and burned down a couple hundred million acres out there. So, you know, it's funny how all these things kind of connect. You know, and it's kind of, like I said, it's very interesting to watch our disgraced FBI cover up for arsonists. And I hope anybody in Oregon who's had to leave their homes, you know, realizes that this is more than just Antifa. This is a conspiracy. Your own government, your own Department of Justice, your own FBI is working. I don't know for a fact, but it looks to me, I mean, I saw a video where they had a drone, that Antifa had a drone up that was shooting fire down at it.
I'm sorry, I got to cut you off. We got to take a break for station identification. Back with another phone call after these few words.
Hear ye, ConstitutionOnTrial.com presents the most important question for our generation. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Witness the prosecution and defense of the United States Constitution on trial, live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and streamed live on YouTube. For the prosecution, Ted Weiland, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of Bible Law versus the United States Constitution, The Christian Perspective. Versus for the defense, Brent Allen Winters, a practicing lawyer and author of Excellence of Common Law in Light of History, Nature, and Scripture. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and live streamed on YouTube. Saturday, September 19th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. Come one, come all. This most important event is free to attend and streamed live on YouTube. Go to constitutionontrial.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.